You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Matt delivers a message about becoming more like Christ. Here's Pastor Matt.
So today we're going to look at some selected scriptures on the topic of understanding God's design for us and his intention for us through that design. And I want to just say that to be a disciple of Christ, we must understand the Creator's design and live out the intentions of the designer. There are three really big ideas that we'll focus on today. So if you're taking notes, these are the three things we're going to write down. One, we're going to look at God's design. Two, we're going to look at God's designation. And three, we're going to look at your determination. And so if you're taking notes, number one, write this down. God's design for you. God's design for you. God has not just a design for you, but as in Scripture, he is the designer. His design carries forethought. In Psalm 139, in 13 through 14, it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Look at your neighbor and tell them, "God did a good job on you." Look, here's the reality. God thought this one through. You're not an accident. You're not a cosmic coincidence. One of the greatest intrinsic spiritual truths that supports the creation account in Scripture is that our design as human beings is obviously thought through and designed. And where there is design, there must be a designer. Examine what the psalmist says. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. That verb knit there is used in the Hebrew in Exodus 2, and it's translated roughly as embroidered. Human development doesn't just happen on its own. It's knit together. Sure, we have scientific measurement. We can watch the development of a person from 0 to 100, right? We can see them from creation, from the moment that they are conceived, and we can observe them all the way through to the moment of their passing. But the point is not so much to measure that. To quote Eugene Peterson, he says, "In the presence of birth, we don't calculate, we marvel." And that's what the psalmist is trying to communicate. When you look at how we were created, it should be more of, "Wow, God, amazing." The word picture here communicates the effort and the careful forethought that goes into creating each person that has ever lived, each one that lives now, and each person that will ever live. If you've ever stitched or sewn or embroidered or knit or crocheted something, just by show of hands, who has done any of those things? Stitched, sewn, crocheted. All right, many of us, so we have a little bit of an understanding here. You know it takes intentionality and effort and forethought and planning and skill. It reminds me of my Grandma Marjorie Garris. And Grandma lived in Jamestown. If you know your California history at all, that's kind of gold country. And so they moved out there because Grandma and Grandpa, they didn't like people so much. So they wanted to get away. They found this little hill, and they were alone out there, and they liked it that way. So we'd go to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and we would visit. And don't get me wrong, they loved us. I mean, we were the grandkids. So we'd go over, and Grandma would be crocheting all the time. She'd be sitting on her chair. Don't sit in Grandma's chair, by the way. She'd sit in her chair, she'd be watching TV, and she'd be crocheting. She'd have those big old crochet needles. And what would she be crocheting? Well, of course, things like Grandma's crochet, hats, scarves, blankets. But beyond that, my grandma crocheted little bears for us. Little bears about this big. And they had those big, you know, weaves and knots that come with crocheting. And they were a little bear, and they were stuffed, and they were just real basic. And so the bears just started off like, my favorite color was green, so I had a green bear. And Philip had a blue bear. And Christopher, I don't remember what color bear he was. He was the youngest, so we kind of forget about the youngest, right? But the point is, after a while, she started making more of bears. And then there were multicolored bears. And then there were themed bears as we got into, like, comic books and heroes. So there was Superman bear, and there was Batman bear. By the time I was a teenager, there must have been 45 bears in the house. And do any of your children, or have any of your children, stacked their stuffed animals on their bed? Anybody, like, there's some of you that are teenagers, you're like, "I still stack my stuffed animals on my bed." I see you nodding your head. And so we had all these bears. And I think, by the time we were teenagers, though, I think we started shooting them with our BB gun. Because the stuffing would come out the back, and it was very realistic. We were cute as kids and awful as teenagers. said every parent ever about their children. So my grandma made these bears, and they took a lot of forethought planning. And she knit them together. And then the psalmist says, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. What does this wonderful work cause the psalmist to do? What should it cause us to do? To pay attention to who God is and to praise him for it. Warren Wiersbe says, God made us wonderful. We cannot ignore him. A second big idea thought here is his design is intentional and intricate. His design is intentional and intricate. Your hand shaped me, Job 10:8, and made me. Again, it's a tribute to God's handiwork. Did you know that a DNA molecule can combine in almost an infinite number of ways? The number that we know right now that it can combine is 10 to the 2 billion 400 millionth power. Wrap your head around that for a second. If every number was 1 inch tall and you put it on a piece of paper, that piece of paper would stretch 37,000 miles, 1.5 times roughly, around the globe. God broke the mold when he made you. And frankly, that statement doesn't even do it justice. There is no mold. We're special, we're unique, we're molded by God, shaped in a way that has design and carries his purpose. Your divine design enables you to understand how God has uniquely and intentionally wired you for life and for ministry. Look at Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. Have you ever done an art project? Drawn something, sculpted something, put something together? Many of us have. Well, how many of you have gotten halfway through it and you're like, this is horrible. This is not a masterpiece. And you're ashamed. But then maybe you finished it and it did turn out good. Maybe you built something or you crafted something or you drew or painted something and you're done and you're like, wow, that's exactly how I wanted it in my mind. Or if not, you could admire the masterpieces of finest art. It's a masterpiece. God says we are his masterpiece. Of all the things made, of all the beauty in the world, of all the universe, we are his masterpiece. That's a huge thought. It reminds me of Peanuts. Remember the Snoopy and Charlie Brown and all those guys? Snoopy's on the side of the road and he's watching some kids run by and he says, I wonder why some are born dogs and some are born people. It's just not fair. Why am I the lucky one? Well, if Snoopy can acknowledge his design and be thankful for it, then we should be able to as well. Another thought, his design includes gifts. So God has a design for you, and it includes gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:7. Each person is given something to do. That's in the Message. In the New Living Translation, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. We love to receive gifts, don't we? Who loves to receive gifts here in this place? Some of you put your hands down too early. Now you might not get a gift. Who loves to receive gifts? I have gifts. I got gifts. Guess who found me yesterday? That's right, the Girl Scouts. I'm sorry, Impact Girls. I mean no offense by this, but these things are amazing. So the Girl Scouts found me. I know you balcony people sometimes get the short end of the stick, so Pastor Aaron is going to take these Thin Mints up there, and he's going to drop them off as a gift. Then I have these ones. Who likes the Samoans? Yeah. Oh, who's it going to be? Who wants the special gift? I'm going to reward people who are sitting in the front today because they came down towards the front. You guys kind of count as the front. Don't look down on yourselves, but there you go. She might share those with you if you're nice to her. What if those were our communion crackers? Anybody ever thought that through? We're not really going to do that, so. Oh, okay, good. We got our gifts up. The sound man, thank you for making us sound good. You deserve all the gifts in the world. Why do we love gifts? Because God designed us that way. He built us to. God is a giver of gifts. God loves to give gifts, and as his image bearers, we love to give and receive gifts. One of the greatest perks of God's design is that he designed you with built-in gifts, and he infills you with spiritual gifts over the course of your life. What do these gifts look like? Well, let's do a little bit of Bible education today. So if you're taking notes, you're going to write down three different kinds of gifts that the Bible gives mention to. We could categorize groups in these three groups, all right? One is manifestation gifts. I find these in 1 Corinthians 12:7-10. These are gifts that manifest in us as believers when God wants them to. So God causes these gifts to spiritually manifest in believers so that other believers can be ministered to, so the church can be ministered to. Sometimes you see these kinds of gifts show up in church because God wants to minister to his body through these gifts. These are gifts of tongues and interpretation, prophecy, miracles, healing, faith, knowledge, wisdom, and discernment. There's another category of gifts that are called ministry gifts, and I find these in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And these might well be called equipping gifts. This is that part of Scripture where it says some were called so that they would equip the saints. So these are apostles, these are prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So if someone has the gift of being a pastor or a teacher, what's their job? It's to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Ministry gifts. And then I also find motivational gifts. And these are in Romans 12, and I find these in 6 through 8. These are gifts that we possess, according to 1 Peter 4:10. They are given at birth, and they shape our personality and our temperament. And so that's how your personality and temperament shapes up in life. That's part of your gift mix as well. And while we may move in multiple areas of gifting, there are one or two that are a motivational force for us. They think of it as the lens that colors the way you see the world, a motivational gift. These are perceiver, server, teacher, exhorter, giver, administrator, and compassion. And I know I'm kind of rifling through those. It's just for the sake of time. There's a lot of great teaching here on the topic of gifts. And I'm just scratching the surface. And it's to make you aware that God's design of you has purpose and includes lots of gifting. And we're going to get to why that gifting is in just a moment here on big idea number two. And before we do that, you'd say, I want to learn a little bit more about that. You're in luck, because on March 2nd, we are going to go over that with you at GrowTrack. Shameless GrowTrack plug, everyone, right there, built into the message. So, in fact, let's do a little bit of interactive time here. You should have, this morning, received an email. So, I'm going to give you permission to get your phones out. Some of you are like, permission? I've been on Facebook all morning. Just go with me and pretend like you were taking notes on it. And so... check your email, that wherever you receive stuff from us on, all right, your PCC email. Pastor Aaron is waving it at me here. He's got his. It has a little GrowTrack thing on there. We sent that to you this morning for this very purpose. So I know some of you think it's all just happening. Oh, no, it was thought through. Check your phone, and on March 2nd, with the GrowTrack one day, or any of the times we do GrowTrack after that. It's going to happen every Sunday at 9 o'clock. We're going to do it on a reoccurring scale every Sunday so you can walk through the four steps of discipleship. If you haven't signed up yet for GrowTrack, here's one way you can do it. On your phone right now, there's like four lines to fill in on the form. It's super easy. And if you want to sign up and say, yeah, I want to learn a little bit more about how God has gifted me and how I can use those gifts for God's purpose, be a part of the GrowTrack one day. You can also sign up out at our GrowTrack Center in the lobby today. Well, this, why are we gifted? It really leads us to our second big idea, and that is God's designation for you. So God has a design for you, but he also has a designation for you. What has he designated you to do? What has he set you apart for, in other words? He's designated you to, A, serve him by serving others. 1 Corinthians 12:7, we looked at the first part of this verse already. Here's the rest of it. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. New Living Translation. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Why are the gifts there? They're so we can help each other. And everybody benefits. I love that part. 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So it's plain as day. It's right there. No theology degree needed for this one. Use what God has given you to serve one another. Another thought on that, letter B, he has designed you to be unique and different in your service. Romans 12:6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Or in the New Living Translation, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Did you know God set you apart as unique for a reason? Now, some of you are more unique than others, if you know what I'm saying. But one of the points here is that in our diversity, in how different we are, we actually have great strength. And another is that just because you're different than another person you may see serving, that doesn't mean that there's not a place for you. there is a place for you right here at Portland Christian Center, as a matter of fact, on the Portland Christian Center Dream Team. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31 kind of lays out a case for this and includes a composite list of all the gifts I previously mentioned. So it lumps them all together as lots of gifts God gives. And then Paul makes the case that just as the human body is intricately designed with many parts, but we need all the parts for the body to function properly, the church is set up just like that. So 1 Corinthians 12, 12, let me read it to you. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So he gives us an example that one part can't say to another, you're less important than me. I'm more important than you, because we need all the parts together. And because the body needs all the parts, he takes it a step further and he says, how strange would it be if the whole body was one part? And then he gives a couple examples. And I like this. I think we should stop on this every now and then. We read by it, but we have great imaginations. What if you were just one part of the body? What would that look like? Go with me on this, all right? And Paul gives a couple examples. My favorite, though, what if we were all just a giant tongue? What if what do tongues do? They taste stuff and they lick stuff. So how do tongues communicate without the rest of the body? What, do we just float around like giant tongues? Have you ever seen a cow tongue? It's like this big. You ever see, like, gone to the market and got one? Why would you do that? I don't know. Have you ever had a cow tongue burrito at a Mexican restaurant? Muy delicioso. But they're huge. What if you were just a giant tongue floating around, tasting stuff and licking stuff? All right, that's enough of that. It's getting dark. It seems silly, but Paul's making the point that sometimes we treat the church this way. Sometimes we say, they don't need me because they have Pastor Christelle and she sings just fine. They don't need me, they have Pastor Tom. They don't need me, they have great greeters like Delphine and Hannah. They're fine, they're covered out there. They don't need me, they have great leaders like the Boyds or the Mitchells. We're covered. And I would tell you emphatically, that is wrong. That is wrong. We do need you. The church is designed in a way that we need everyone. And I say we, I don't mean the pastoral staff. I mean we, the church, we need you. God made it that way. He wants you to use your gifts for him and for his church, for his glory. Well, another thought is he has designated you to become someone special. Look to your neighbor and say, you're special. And mean it. Who remembers the Army promo line in the 1980s? Be all you can be. We do remember. Anyone remember the jingle? All that you can be, right? All right. Well, I'm going to help you remember. So roll the whole song.
You're reaching deep inside you.
Go!
For things you've never known. It's been tough, rough going, but you haven't gone alone.
We do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
Be all that you can be.
Hey, First Sergeant. Good morning.
You can do it in the Army.
Yes. Hey, First Sergeant. You know, that's what happens in the Army. Well, before we go on, let me just say, as I talk about the Army, that if you serve in the military, you have served, you have a family member that serves, we just want to thank you. We want to acknowledge you. We want you to know we owe you a great debt because you have served. Thank you. And whereas the service can do a lot for you, God has a plan for you to be all that you can be too. And it's even better. How do I develop further? How do I take the next step in growing in Christ, in developing as a person? You serve. When someone says to me, Pastor Matt, I'm kind of stuck, like I feel like there's something else for me. Yeah, and the first question I always ask people is, how are you serving in ministry? That's such an intricate part of how God has designed you. It's necessary for you to grow into the special person God wants you to be. When you serve God and his people, you grow closer to him, you bless others, and frankly, you develop into a better person. you also fulfill what God set you apart for. Look at Jeremiah 1:5. Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. If that doesn't make you feel special, I don't know what does. It's one thing to spot potential in someone because they have a gift or a talent, and you would say, yeah, you're perfect for that. You're great for that. Let's get you in this job. It's another thing, before they're born, to set them apart and say, I have a special work for you. Parents, have you ever thought about that for your children? God, just like he said to Jeremiah in this part of Scripture, says to you, to the church, that I've set your kids apart. I've set you apart for something special. People, all of us are set apart for something special. There's no one here that's not special. There's no one here that's just run of the mill. God has set you apart for something special. And some of you may not feel special today, and maybe no one's told you lately that you are special and that you are unique and that you are loved and that you are designed, that God has a plan for you. And I want to tell you this morning that you're very special. Don't take your giftings for granted. God gave them to you and he wants you to use them as part of your development. It's important that as disciples of Christ, we move from being spiritual consumers to spiritual contributors. And when we do, there's an amazing blessing and a special fulfillment that follows. Well, that brings me to our third and final big idea, your determination to serve. And I'm going to ask musicians to come at this time. Your determination to serve, number three. So the big question is, what will you do with this information? I hope that you will make a determination to serve. And really, it's not a question of if you have determination. It's not a question of will I determine to do something one way or another? Because you will. We all have determination to serve. We will serve someone or something. Some of us will serve ourselves. Some of us will serve, we'll serve our own nature. We'll serve the things that are important to us. We'll serve our goals, our plans, our aspirations, our dreams. We'll serve ourselves. Some of us will serve a spouse or a friend, someone else that's really important to us. That will be the number one thing for us. We will serve that person at all costs. That will be top priority. Some of us will serve popular culture. Some of us will serve, we'll look and say, well, the values of the culture around me, those are the high values for me, and so I'm going to serve with my life the culture around me. Some of us will serve an idea or a cause. It's big to get behind a cause right now. You know what the truth is? It's always been big to get behind a cause. It's built into us. It's built into us to have a cause, a reason for something. But the world has a lot of causes, and they're not necessarily bad, right? I mean, sure, buy some Toms, get some shoes for someone else in another country. Nothing wrong with that. But who are you going to determine to really serve? Is it going to be this cause or the next cause, or will you serve God, the one who created you and gave you those gifts in the first place? And when you make this determination, you'll live with the greatest pleasure as God designed you to. Eric Liddell in the movie Chariots of Fire, in defending his running of the Olympics, said, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. Isn't that the truth? When we're doing what God has designed us to do, we feel God's pleasure. When you make a determination to serve, you're striving towards a next level of growth in the Lord. And I want to ask you this question today. What will you determine to do? As you hear the words of Scripture, and perhaps the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now, what is God calling you to do? Where is God directing you to go? How is he directing you to use your gifts for him? And you might say, Pastor Matt, I'm not 100% sure where to start, where to take that, or where to go next. What's the next step for me to serve at Portland Christian Center? I'm glad you asked. The place to start is to walk through the discipleship journey with us and do that through Grow Track. Whether it's March 2nd or you start coming on Sundays and you go through step one on week one and step two on week two, join us in Grow Track and we're going to help you assess how God has made you. In step three, we do a spiritual gifts assessment and we walk you through here's ways for you to find out how God built you, how he designed you, and what he designed you for. And then to give you recommendations and opportunities to say, all right, based on what I know about myself and what's available here at the church, here's how I'm going to serve. There's opportunity, I guarantee you, right here to serve and to put those gifts to great use. In fact, throw up that Dream Team list on there. I know you can't read that in great detail, and it's okay. You're not meant to read it all today. These are some pages from the Grow Track book, and these are just a set of our dream teams. And within these dream teams, there are even more dream teams. These are broad categories. And so we have a youth team. And frankly, you know, you may go through and see your gifts and you may realize, you know what, I feel I'm gifted and I feel called to serve the middle school and high school students. And I want to get involved. And so there's a ton of dream teams within the youth team. There's a Royal Family Kids team. There's a prayer team. You may find you have some spiritual gifts that lead you towards prayer and intercession more. You say, I want to be on that team. There's a kids team. There's first impressions team. There's an outreach team. There's small group leadership team. There's a special events team. Some of you are good at like doing real big special events. You know, moms, you know who you are. Like your kid has the inflatable at their birthday party and it's like an all-day deal and everyone's tired afterwards. Maybe you're really good at planning things and we have a team for that. Look, the point is this. We're doing this because we want to not like enslave people. Everyone, you know, like you need to get on board and do the thing. It's because God wants you to serve and the local church is the way for you to do that. You're built to serve and this is the best outlet. And when churches don't, I get it. People are like, well, I got to serve somewhere. And so we put ourselves all over the map. We would love for you to use your gifts and your talents right here at this church as God designed it. Perhaps you're new and this is going to be a great venue, outlet for you. Perhaps, though, you're already serving. And to those of you who are, first, let me just say this. Thank you. Thank you for serving as God designed you to in this church. Thank you for serving our kids, and thank you for serving our youth. Thank you for every class that needs teaching, every floor that needs sweeping, every meal that needs prepping, and every baby that needs loving, every song that needs singing, every hand that needs shaking. Thank you. Thank you for serving. This church is better with you in it, 100%. And if you already serve, Pastor Ray and I, we hope that you'll also join us through Grow Track. For those that have been connected here for years, and we need you to help us lead the journey. We need you to go alongside with us. Help us lead the way as we grow. You know, something might happen to you as well when you walk through this process. You might find that God is giving you new revelation about something, and he wants something special and new for you. I'm reminded of a couple that Sarah and I once did some ministry with. Their names were John and Ione. Wonderful couple in their 70s. And they had served in one ministry of the church for 30 years, maybe even longer. I mean, so they were like legacy to the max. And they were amazing. And we did a spiritual gifts assessment together, and we were kind of walking through and saying, okay, where's God calling you? And, you know, the temptation would be like, hey, we're good. Like, we're doing this. We've been doing it for 30 years. We're set. And that may be the case for some of you. But for John and Ione, they listened to the Lord. And the Lord said to them it was time for something new. And so they decided they wanted to try out being greeters. They joined the First Impressions team. And they started doing it. And man, I'm not kidding. They turned that team into, they added to that team something amazing and special. They were kind of grandparent age. And so they started loving people like grandparents love people a very special way. They started recruiting others to the team. And before you know it, they had changed the face of that thing all for the better. Because they had listened to the Lord and God led them to do something different. Sometimes God has new revelation for us. It reminds me that if we'll ask God, what do you want me to do? And then we'll listen. Sometimes he leads us to something that's even better than we know right now. Additionally, if you've served faithfully here over the years, we want to invite you to be on the same page with us. How many of you like to be in the loop when we do something new here? Like when we get up and Pastor Ray or me or someone says something new and you're like, whoa, what's that? What did you do? You know, like, what did you break? What did you change? This is a good way to be in the loop with us. Come with us on this journey of growth together, of discipleship. Let's be like Paul says. Let's run the race set before us and let's do it together with unity and with enthusiasm. I hope we'll all together determine to develop our design and be on the dream team. Remember the historian's quote that was at the very end of that chunk I read at the beginning of service? And he said, "Many consider it to be the greatest team ever assembled in any sport, yet even that description fails to give it proper credit for its impact." What if that could be said about this church? Many consider it the greatest team ever assembled in any context, yet even that description fails to give God's dream team proper credit for its impact. Would you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? You see, I think that this can be the reality for us. A group of us were talking this morning and it kind of came up. Some of you are familiar with the 80-20 principle, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That may be an observation that happens in business and in the church and in according to our human nature, but I've got news for you. That's not God's design. God's design is not 20% does 80% of the work. God's design is that 100% does 100%. That if he's gifted you and created you and made you and designated you and set you apart, that he has purpose and design for you. And I really hope you will let that kind of stew in you today, and then you'll decide, what's my determination going to be? And let me just say this to those of you in the crowd who would be listening, and you're not even 100% with me yet on the service thing. You're backed up a little bit at the point of, well, Pastor Matt, I hear you talking about God and his family and belonging and becoming. I'm not even sure I believe yet. That's okay. You can go on that journey too. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed in here, I want to ask a simple question. Are there those of you in here who would say, I don't believe, but maybe like a character in the Bible said to Jesus, will you help me with my unbelief? And this morning, if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, personally know him, not just come to church, not just know about him, not just get Bible training, know him personally. The Bible says that you can. That if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you confess with your mouth that he died on a cross, that he rose from the grave, that he paid the price for your shortcomings, for your mistakes, for your sins, that you'll be saved. And if that's you this morning, you could say a simple prayer just like this. You could say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you lived on this earth to teach us how to live, that you died on a cross, and you died on a cross for my sins, for my mistakes, for the way I hurt people and the way that I have hurt God. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Forgive me for the things I've done. Will you live in my life? Will you make me a Christian? I'll do my best to live my life for you. I believe in you. Will you forgive me? If you say a simple prayer like that today, Scripture says you'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from an eternity without God, saved to an eternity with God, and frankly, with many, if not most, of the people in this room. We'll be together in eternity. That's what Scripture says when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you to say that prayer today if you feel like you need to believe. You need to take that first step in a discipleship journey with the Lord. And if you do, come talk to one of us as pastors after service. We'll be hanging around, some of us down here in the front, some in the lobby. You could talk to someone on our First Impressions team and just say, hey, I said that prayer today. Or go talk to us at the Grow Track Center. Say, I said that prayer today. I want to know what's next for me as a disciple of Christ. And we want to help you grow. We want you to be a part of this family. We love you. We're glad that you're here. We love you because Jesus loves you. Well, this morning as we close, I'd like to ask everyone here to stand. I'd like to pray one prayer of blessing over you today as one of your pastors. Lord, thank you for your word and thank you for how you made us. God, you could have done this so many ways. You didn't have to give us the kind of involvement and inclusion that you did. You didn't have to design us with such intricacy as you have, but you did. Lord, if we're your masterpiece, wow, thank you. Lord, I pray your blessing over each masterpiece that stands before me today. I pray your blessing over this church and each individual life. I pray you'd heal families. I pray that you'd provide for families. I pray that you would give people a great week. For some, this will be the greatest week of their life. For some, it'll be hard, but Lord, they can turn to you, and when they do, would you be there for them? Would you comfort them? Lord, we pray for absolute blessing over the church. Would you help us this week as we seek to live our lives in accordance with your will? We love you, and we will commit to you as a church. We determine that we will serve you. Will you help us as we go on that journey to figure out the best place for it as you have gifted us? We love you, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. We'll go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit today. Have a great day. We love you guys.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.